Hello friends, welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. Today is December 29th. My name is Campbell. And today we are studying a crime article. I don't know about you, but I always enjoy a good mystery. All right, but before we get into our article, let me welcome my friends here. We have Linda. Linda, do you enjoy mysteries?
I do, but it depends on the type of mystery. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is actually my first crime article, so I'm excited about that.
All right, and we have Albert here. Hello, Albert.
Hi, everyone. I have a question for Linda. Mm-hmm. What kind of mysteries?
I don't really like such gruesome mysteries. Like if it involves like a really gruesome murder, right. I'm not so into that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you don't really like CSI and stuff like that?
Well, I'll watch it, but... Yeah, but I also know that CSI is very fake.
This is true.
Because I know people who work in like a crime unit, and they're like, it's nothing like that. Like, it's the Hollywood version.
Yes.
Are you going to ask me if I enjoy mysteries?
Do you enjoy mysteries, Albert?
I like solving them.
You like solving them. Yes. All right, well, we are going to be looking at a crime today. It's a real crime that happened several years ago, and we're going to learn how the FBI solved this crime. So we often use this word solve when we're talking about a mystery or trying to figure out who did it, right? And so there are different clues that are left, and the FBI or the police, they're kind of left to figure out who is the culprit, right? Who are the criminals? All right, so let's see how they solved this $3 million heist. Let's start our article today. Our article is on page 42, so please join us.
How the FBI solved a $3 million heist. Does crime pay? The anatomy of an inside job. When armed robbers took off with more than $3 million from an armored truck company's South Florida depot, investigators suspected the crime was an inside job. It would take the FBI and prosecutors years of digging to solve the case. Now, three men have pleaded guilty to the 2012 heist at the Old Garda Logistics Armored Truck Building in Riviera Beach. The players: Halmar Towns, the former Garda weekend supervisor with a previously stellar reputation, admitted he was the inside man who provided information, tipped off the robbers when the coast was clear, and let them in. Daryl Peterkind and Sir Corey Wilder confessed this year that they were the armed robbers. With masks and guns, they sped into the depot, tossed heavy bags of cash into the truck, and took off, all in about 5 minutes.
So we have a lot of great words here involving crime and the justice and law. All right, so let's get started. So how the FBI solved a $3 million heist. Now, the FBI is an organization in the United States, and they are in charge of what, Linda?
Well, the FBI, it stands for Federal Bureau of Investigation, and their jurisdiction, or they are responsible for the United States and pursuing criminals who have broken federal laws.
Mm-hmm. So they are a law enforcement organization, and they solved a $3 million heist. What is a heist?
A heist is a robbery where valuable items are taken from a place or a person.
Mm-hmm. So another good crime word here, heist, right?
Yeah, and it's a robbery, but when you think of heist, it's a more complicated, like there are more steps involved,
right,
or like more things involved.
Yeah.
It's not just simple robbery.
Right. If any of you saw
Ocean's
11, 12, 13, right? Those were heists, right? Mm-hmm. So there's kind of a lot of
individuals involved.
Yes. Handsome people involved.
A lot of planning involved, right? Okay. Now, we have an interesting question here. Does crime pay? Right? And this is kind of referring to an idiom that we're going to be talking about tomorrow, and we can look at it now. It says crime doesn't pay, right? What does this idiom, crime doesn't pay, mean?
Well, it's just saying that it's not worth it to commit a crime. Eventually, you'll get found out.
Right.
And punished.
That's right. So it doesn't pay, right? So the question here, does crime pay? It seems like it pays, right? Because these criminals, these crooks, they got away with $3 million.
That's a lot of money.
Yep. U.S. dollars for a few years, mm-hmm. right? And they got to live a good life, quote unquote, for a few years. But they got caught, right? And so we're going to be looking at the anatomy of an inside job. What are we talking about when we're talking about the anatomy of something?
It's the makeup of something. So right. We often use anatomy in science, mm-hmm. you know, when we look at the anatomy of an animal or a human, we look at the different parts of that species.
Yeah. So when we're talking about the anatomy of something, just how it's put together, right? So how does this inside job work? And what are we talking about when we're talking about an inside job?
Well, inside job is a crime committed by with the help of someone who works at the location.
Mm-hmm.
So they have insider information. They know how, like, the doors unlock and what time the guards are not on duty and whatnot.
Right. So basically someone from the inside or someone within that organization or that company or that bank helps the criminals or is a part of the planning process. All right. So we hear what happened in this heist, right? We hear that armed robbers took off with more than $3 million from an armored truck company's South Florida depot. All right, lots of words here. So $3 million, again, a lot of money. And what's an armored truck?
Well, an armored vehicle is one that has heavy covering or protection.
Yeah, and usually these armored trucks are used to transport what?
Money or anything valuable. These trucks are huge, by the way. They're heavy, they're bomb-proof from the belly side. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was from a South Florida depot. And a depot is just a place for storage of large quantities. It can be anything ranging from not valuable items to very valuable things.
Yeah. So this armored truck company, basically, they're in charge of transporting money and valuables, and usually these trucks are heavily guarded, so it can be very hard to rob these trucks. But again, this wasn't a truck that was robbed, there's kind of the whole company, right? So there's kind of a fleet of trucks.
Like a parking lot for, you know, when they're end of the night, they're not working anymore.
Right. Now, investigators, just people who were studying or trying to figure out who committed this crime, they suspected the crime was an inside job. So they were kind of guessing that someone within this company helped out the armed robbers.
Right.
Okay. Now, were the FBI and prosecutors able to solve this crime right away?
Not at all. It took them years of digging to solve the case.
Mm-hmm. And I really like this because it's not like every crime case is like CSI where it wraps up in 1 hour. We're good to go. Let's go home.
Right.
It takes years of due diligence, you know, going through the details, walking the roads and talking to people and finding clues and details, you know.
That's right. So, the prosecutors and FBI, the prosecutors we're referring to are lawyers who prove in court that a person accused of a crime is guilty. So these different groups of people, they spent a long time trying to solve this case. And now, three men have pleaded guilty to the 2012 heist at the old Garda Logistics armored truck building in Riviera Beach. All right, so this crime occurred in 2012. This article is written in 2016, so it took them 4 years. 4 years to solve this
case. That's a while. I mean, it's not as long as some crimes take to, other crimes take to solve, and some crimes are unsolved. But yeah, 4 years is a long time.
That's right. So, again, Garda Logistics is an armored truck company. When we're talking about a logistics company, we're talking about a company that helps to move products and ship products from place to place. All right. So, the players. Now, the players are the people involved in this story or in this crime.
Mm.
So, the players. Who is the first player that we meet?
A guy who is known as Mr. Towns. He was a former weekend supervisor with a stellar reputation. Unmatched, untarnished, just really good.
Right. So, prior to this crime, he was not known. He had no criminal record. Right, he was not known to be a criminal. He was pretty clean, which I would assume is kind of a prerequisite to working at an armored truck company, right?
Mm-hmm. Or I wonder if this was like his goal from the beginning, to be a model employee, and then, oops, gotta steal some money.
Well, I think later on we'll find out why he did this job, mm-hmm. why he decided to become involved in this heist, right? And so he had a stellar reputation, meaning that he had no criminal record. And again, that's probably one of the prerequisites to getting a job at the armored truck company.
And not only that, he had this really great reputation. So he was probably a model employee
mm-hmm.
at his workplace.
That's right. Now, he admitted he was the inside man. So again, earlier we said that the officials, the FBI and the prosecutors, they were kind of guessing, right? They were suspecting that the crime was an inside job, that there was an inside man involved. And, well, this Mr. Towns, he confessed. He admitted that he was the inside man who provided information, tipped off the robbers when the coast was clear, and let them in. What are we talking about when we say the coast was clear?
Well, the coast is clear is an idiom. It means it is safe to do something or go somewhere because no one is watching or listening, and you know that person can prevent you or catch you from doing what you want to do.
Right. So again, we see how this is very much a heist, right? There was a lot of planning involved in this crime. All right, now we find out about who the armed robbers actually were. So we see their names here, Daryl Peterkine and Sergey Wilder. So some interesting names here. They confessed this year that they were the armed robbers. And how did they commit this crime?
Well, they did it with masks and guns. So they sped into the depot, tossed the heavy bags of cash into the truck, and then sped away. And all of this took only about 5 minutes, so they were really fast.
Right. So the officials, when they were looking at this, they were kind of like, something's not adding up here.
It was too smooth.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so something happened. All right. So what happened, and how did these officials solve this case? Well, let's keep reading and find out.
Still under scrutiny. Federal prosecutors say they still don't have answers to some questions, including, where did all that money go? Investigators have traced how some of the stolen cash was spent, but it's nothing close to the stolen amount. The $3 million was supposed to be split evenly three ways, but there is some dispute about whether that happened. Defense lawyers said the men bought lots of new clothes, gambled, and helped out associates, but the rest vanished.
So this case is still under scrutiny, which means that people are still examining it, and they're still trying to get more information about it, right? Federal prosecutors say they still don't have answers to some of the questions. And what is one of the biggest questions they're trying to figure out?
Where did all the money go?
Right. So how much money again was stolen?
$3 million.
$3 million. That's a lot of money. Now, investigators have traced how some of the stolen money was spent, but it's nothing close to the stolen amount. Now, how were they originally going to divide this money?
Well, they're supposed to split it evenly between all three of them.
Right. So everybody gets $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So all three of them, each were supposed to get $1 million, but there's some dispute about whether that happened. So maybe that didn't actually happen.
Right. Yeah, there's some argument over that.
Okay. Now, defense lawyers, so these are now the people, we talked about prosecutors earlier. Mm-hmm. These are the people that are trying to charge them with the crimes, right? Defense lawyers are the people now that are defending these criminals, mm-hmm. right? In the United States, the law system, basically, you are innocent until proven guilty. Right. So you actually are given lawyers if you can't afford them.
Yes.
And these lawyers, their job is to defend you and to prove that you're not guilty.
Right.
Okay. So you have the ones that are trying to prove that you are guilty. These are the prosecutors. And then you have the ones that are trying to prove that you're not guilty. And these are the defense lawyers. Now, these defense lawyers said the men bought lots of new clothes, gambled, and helped out associates, so others who were working with them, right? But the rest vanished. They don't know what happened to the rest of the money.
Yeah, it's not accounted for. There's only so much clothes and gambling that they did.
Yeah.
So
what happened to it? They're still trying to figure that out. All right. So how did they solve this crime? Let's read this last section together.
Unexpected chance. Government fraud charges against Peter Kine, his wife, and Wilder's girlfriend for living in public housing while failing to disclose their assets, and the men's felony records were among the investigative tactics authorities used to solve the robbery. But the most significant break came 10 months after the heist, when Towns, who quit his Garda Depot job after the raid, was arrested after trying to steal more than $1.5 million from a Garda armored truck guard in West Palm Beach. Wielding a rifle and wearing a mask, Towns fired 2 shots during the morning rush hour. The guard, uninjured but traumatized, sprinted to safety.
So we are getting more information about how the officials solved this crime. And it is reading kind of like a crime novel, right?
Or an action movie.
I know. There's a lot happening here. All right. So, again, this crime occurred in 2012. This heist happened about 4 years ago. And they were trying to solve the case. But they weren't getting any breakthroughs. But eventually, government fraud charges were brought against Peter Kine, his wife, and Wilder's girlfriend. What is a fraud charge?
Well, a fraud charge ranges from a lot of things, but basically it boils down to how you're not disclosing information accurately or honestly, mm-hmm. and so you're committing fraud.
Right. So you're kind of lying.
Yeah,
right?
And namely to the government. And I feel like what happened was, the FBI had clues, but they couldn't bring them in or go through their accounts without, like, just cause or provable.
Right. Yeah. So what were the fraud charges that they were brought against?
Well, they were charged for living in public housing while failing to disclose their assets. And public housing is government housing.
Right. So basically housing that people can live in for free or at a lower cost, mm-hmm. right? And so basically they're using the government's money and assets to live in public housing, but these are supposed to be reserved for people of low income.
Right.
Right. And they have $3 million.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
So they are failing to disclose or to kind of reveal that they have assets, and so they're still living in the public housing. So they're kind of using government funds to live, even though they can probably afford to live in better places.
Right.
So this is kind of what they're being charged for. And the men's felony records were among the investigative tactics authorities used to solve the robbery. But the most significant break came 10 months after the heist. So almost a whole year after the heist, when, what happened?
Towns, who was the weekend supervisor at Garda, he quit his job after the heist, and he was arrested for trying to steal more than $1.5 million from another Garda armor truck.
Yeah, so I don't understand. I mean, you already have $1 million. Why are you trying to steal more?
Yeah, he sounds really desperate.
Yeah, but like, I feel like I've always argued that as well. But like, we come from like safe, rational. Basically, what it comes down to is we are not burglars or robbers or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But these people, you know, they're unbalanced a little bit, unhinged. They're desperate.
Yeah.
So for them, this makes sense in their minds. Like, well, to solve this problem, I'm just going to steal more money.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe he thought, well, it worked the first time, so let me try it again, you know, on my own.
Right.
But what was interesting is the first time he wasn't the actual one that was doing the robbing.
Right.
He was kind of the one that just let them in, you know.
Yeah, he was the insider.
Yeah, and this kind of goes back to earlier when we mentioned how supposedly the money was supposed to be split three ways.
Right.
But I'm guessing he did not get a fair cut.
So maybe that's what it is.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it is. But, you know, I don't know. It's always interesting to kind of look into a criminal's mind and kind of like,
yeah,
why are you doing that?
Wonder,
you
know, what their motive is.
Yeah, because us average people, we don't have that mindset to, mm-hmm, I'm going to go steal an armored truck, you mm-hmm know? And so what is it that causes someone to do that, right? So he was arrested after trying to steal more than $1.5 million from a Garda armored truck in West Palm Beach, Florida.
Right. So in the first robbery, the first heist that took place was a proper heist. You know, there's planning, there's waiting, there's other people involved. This one was really like, it speaks volumes and reflects how it was a desperate move. He did it in morning rush hour,
mm-hmm,
you know, when a lot of people are present. People can get in danger, and he's just like firing two shots into the air and stuff like that. Not smooth.
That's right. Yeah, it's just kind of seemed a little bit haphazard.
Yes.
Kind of desperate. And he's wielding a rifle, which means he's got the rifle, he's kind of waving it around. He's wielding a rifle and wearing a mask. Towns fired two shots during the morning rush hour, as Albert said, and the guard of the armored truck, uninjured but traumatized, sprinted to safety. It sounds like a really, really interesting story.
Yeah, it sounds like a movie.
I know. I bet you someone will make this into a movie.
2017.
No, so there's a lot of information here, right? So again, just to review quickly. So there was this heist that occurred in 2012, and $3 million was stolen from what or where?
From the armored truck company.
Right, from the Garda Logistics Armored Truck Company, or their building in Riviera Beach, and all this is in Florida. All right, and there are three people involved. Who were they?
Well, there was the first guy, Towns, who's an insider guy. Mm-hmm. He provided the information. He allowed the robbers to come in. There was Wilder and Peter Kein, and they were his associates. And they were the people who stole the money.
Right. Yeah, so it's interesting because, again, this guy, Mr. Town, he had a stellar reputation, which means he was very upstanding. People trusted him, and people thought that he did a really good job. And I think most people wouldn't expect him to do something like this.
Right. You know? Somehow he got pulled to the dark side.
Yeah.
Or maybe we'll find out tomorrow some of his circumstances, but maybe he was just in desperate circumstances,
right,
that caused him to make this decision.
Yeah. And so
sounds like a cliffhanger.
I know. So right now the prosecutors are still trying to figure out, well, where did all the money go, right? They stole $3 million, but most of it is unaccounted for.
Mm-hmm.
And I never expected this, but it's not enough for the investigators to find the people involved, but they have to find the money as well.
Of course.
Oh.
If someone stole $3 million from you, wouldn't you want it back?
That's true, but, you know, I feel like you would leave it to someone else, an accountant or something. I don't know. It's just, if I was an investigator, I would feel like, oh, I did my job. I did my job.
Right. Okay. So it took them kind of almost 4 years, right? Or it took them 4 years to solve this or to find out who did it. There are several breakthroughs, but the most significant breakthrough came 10 months after the heist when this former supervisor with the former stellar reputation suddenly decided to do his own heist, or not a heist, kind of his own robbery.
Yeah. Right? His own stick up.
Right.
Like Western style cowboys.
Western style, and go and pull up to an armored truck in the middle of morning traffic and shoot and steal money.
Yeah, and it still boggles my mind that, you know, the FBI or the investigators per se sat on this for 4 years. It's just, you know, like, they just probably just kept tabs on each of the people that they suspected, and then, you know, they just waited for their big break.
Yeah, I think they spent a lot of time digging and looking and doing research and trying to figure out, because, you know, I think it was quite a, you know, it was a quick crime and only took 5 minutes, but I think it was probably executed in a way that was hard to figure out. Well, what is going on here? You know, how did that happen? All right, so we have a lot more to talk about tomorrow, so do come back. It's an interesting story, and we'll figure out how the FBI solved this $3 million heist, and we will see that crime does not pay. So friends, join us again tomorrow for day 2 of this article. Until then, it's time to say goodbye.